Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is to bring you interesting topics and subjects in the area of McHenry County and around the surrounding areas. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our special guest today is Sarah Ponitz, the Executive Director of Turning Point. And Sarah, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us all about Turning Point and what the things you're doing there and about domestic violence, Sarah.
Okay. So I will just start with what is domestic violence. Illinois actually defines it as a pattern of coercive behavior that is used by one person in a current or former intimate or family relationship to gain power and control over another. There's a common misconception that abuse is only abuse when it's actually physical, and that is not the case. Domestic violence also includes verbal abuse, emotional and psychological intimidation, stalking, and economic control. One in three women and one in four men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. As a response to this, Turning Point was actually formed to address domestic violence and also to provide comprehensive services to victims. We actually started, there was a woman in the community, I'm going to call her Linda, and she was being physically abused by her partner. Mm-hmm. She went to the courthouse and quote unquote was told to go home and deal with her family matter. And so a small group of neighbors and friends responded to that by starting an emergency helpline in 1980. Turning Point was then officially incorporated in 1981. In 1993, we moved to a real office on Route 47 in Woodstock, where all of the advocates shared one really small space. We opened our emergency shelter officially on January 4th, 2007, and we've been providing comprehensive domestic violence services to the community for more than 40 years now.
Sarah, have you seen a rise in domestic violence since the pandemic has hit?
Yes. And also an increase in more severe cases as well. I think when someone, you know, is home together 24/7, you know, working from home, maybe when someone had been working previously.
Sure.
So we've seen an increase, and we've also seen an increase in severity, unfortunately.
Does that put more demand on your staff when you see the increase like that?
Yes, it does.
So how do you handle that?
During the pandemic, we did a lot of our services through Zoom to make it easier to access that way. We also started a chat and text feature so to make it easier in case someone, you know, can't get on the phone and call us. And then we've kind of gone back to in person now, but we're still offering some of the services through Zoom just so to make it easier to access our services.
So a person could come to your office,
mm-hmm.
and chat with you and explain what the situation is and be totally confidential,
right.
Not worry about any repercussions.
Right.
And it's just a matter of encouraging those people to be able to do that, correct?
Right. So we do have a helpline that's available 24/7, and I can talk a little bit more about that as well. But you don't have to be in crisis to call the phone number. So if you're, you know, not even sure if you're actually in a domestic violence situation, you can call that helpline 24/7, and the advocates we have the capability of answering those calls in English and in Spanish.
Okay. So, can you tell me a little bit about the history of Turning Point? You've been around for a while, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 40 years. We were officially incorporated in 1981. Our mission is to confront domestic violence in McHenry County. And our vision is a safe, nonviolent, equitable society where everyone is valued, respected, and has a voice. So.
And it's getting that message out to those folks that they know you have that available to them so they can
right.
share their voice with you.
Right, right. And I can talk a little bit more about all of the services that we offer. I did mention the helpline that's available 24/7. We do have our emergency shelter that's open 24/7 for anyone who is actively fleeing domestic violence. We also provide legal advocacy. So we have an office at the McHenry County Courthouse, and our advocates can assist with like orders of protection, referrals to other outside services, or obviously referrals back to Turning Point for additional services. We offer individual and group counseling services for adults and counseling services for children over age 5. And we also have a outreach and community violence prevention education program and a partner abuse intervention program as well.
So what are you seeing when you look at the adults, whether it be male or female, and then the children? How many children are you seeing having difficulties?
Many, many children, unfortunately, have witnessed domestic violence. And so we have a really comprehensive children's program. We also offer art therapy as well to help with the kids. So it's unfortunate, but children often witness it or are victims themselves.
Do you see the parent bringing the child in to assist them with some help? Or, you know, how do you go about convince them to bring that child in?
Yeah, we that can be addressed through our adult program. And if the person is saying, you know, my children unfortunately witnessed that, that's, we work with them to try and bring, you know, the children in as well and help the, you know, help the whole family.
Does the community really know all about the services that you offer? I mean, is that message out there, or are you still working on that?
Still working on that. That's one of my goals long term, is to really be out in the community and make sure that everybody knows about the services we offer, so that, you know, in the event that a family member or friend or someone in, you know, church would come to their pastor, that they would know, you know, to make the referral to us, to call us.
So in your job, you're reaching out, and what method do you use to reach out to try and convince all these different entities to get in touch with you?
Well, that's part of our outreach and prevention program. We are present in the schools. We've had a lot of the school-age kids come up to our outreach coordinator and, you know, say, I didn't realize I was in an unhealthy relationship until, you know, you gave this presentation. And so we are expanding that, though, beyond the schools, and we are reaching out to, you know, churches. And, you know, like I said, when one of my goals is going to be, you know, the like the Rotary clubs, and just make sure that we're just have a real presence in the community moving forward.
When that presentation is made, does it outline things that, or they're outlining all these different things that would become issues that are identifiable by that child?
Yeah.
So I know you've had recent changes to your services and improvements to your services. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. So all of our services, including our shelter, are offered to men, women, and children. All genders are welcome. We are now accepting male children over age 12 to come into the shelter. That had been changed about 5 years ago. And then I did kind of touch on the texting services that we've had added to our helpline, as well as the chat capabilities to our website in case someone can't make that phone call. And then we very recently had our website translated into Spanish. So with one click, you can translate the whole website into Spanish as well.
So when you talk about children age 12, was there a different age prior to that?
Yes. Yeah. They any male child over age 12 could not come into shelter before, but we realized that that was a barrier, so we changed it.
Okay.
Make it more accessible.
Mm-hmm. So the with these changes that you've been put in to improve your services, have you seen a particular one that's doing better than the other? Because you have several services. Is one capturing the people more than another one?
They were pretty new changes, but we are seeing a lot more texts coming in and the chat through the website as well. But we're just still trying to get the word out so people know that, you know, these services are available. And so I think, you know, that will continue to increase the more people are aware that we have those capabilities now.
So if you're starting out and someone says, gee, you know, how do I start receiving these services? What do I have to do? What do I go through? I'm not sure, you know, where to go, what to do, or should I go to your headquarters? You know, how do you go about that?
So we receive referrals from, you know, police departments and hospitals. Other community agencies also reach out if, you know, they feel that a person could benefit from our services. But like I mentioned before, if someone's not sure if they're even in a domestic violence situation, they can call our helpline 24/7. That number is 815-338-8081. And they would be connected to an advocate they could speak to right away and say, you know, this is my situation. What services could I benefit from? Or am I even in a domestic violence situation? Like I said, there's still that misconception that it has to be physical abuse. And a lot of people don't even realize they're in a domestic violence situation until they call. So.
And in fact, I was going to ask you that because a lot of times on a domestic violence call for a police officer, when he gets there, they change their mind. And so how do you convince that person to say, you know, you are in a domestic violence situation? You know, what do you do to reach out to them to try and convince them that this is not a good situation for you?
I think that's where our training, of the police department, you know, working closely with them and getting them some training in domestic violence. They've been very cooperative with us and engaged in that way. I know that when they go out to a home, they do give information on, like, here's how you could file an order of protection, Turning Point can help you, and, you know, just talk, let them know that, you know, you don't need to stay in this situation. I think that's where the training with the police is really important.
So when the police send that information over to you, do you folks then reach out to that person and try and get a hold of them to see what you can do to help them out?
Yes, if they make a referral, yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's part of what you're doing as far as receiving services.
Mm-hmm.
And what else comes along with that, Sarah?
Our other services?
Sure.
So like I mentioned, we have the emergency shelter, the legal advocacy, the group and individual counseling, and then our partner abuse intervention program. Sometimes those are referrals from the court for anyone who has actually been the abuser. So we work closely with them. That's kind of take like that holistic approach to trying to break that cycle. And, you know, really work closely with them on potentially how to stop the abuse and what they're doing is abuse. So
we want to remind everybody that you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. For more information, you can go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have on any of our shows. We are talking to Sarah Ponitz from Turning Point, the Executive Director. Sarah, when you talk about the shelter, how does someone get into the shelter, and how long do they stay in the shelter?
So again, they could call that helpline number, and if they're saying, like, I'm trying to actively flee from a situation, then we would immediately connect them to the shelter. We average about a 30-night stay, but we can extend someone well beyond that if they're not quite ready to transition into a permanent home. We also work closely with Home of the Sparrow. They have some transitional housing that's available, so we make referrals to them as well. But we're not going to say at 30 days someone, you know, has to leave. We can extend them for as long as they need. So,
well, after that 30-night stay, I'm sure a lot of people are confused and worried about, I don't want to go back where I came from. You know, what happens then if they're looking for direction, where to go, what to do?
Mm-hmm.
How is that handled?
Yeah, so our case managers in the shelter work with them to find housing, employment, work on, you know, financial assistance, budgeting, those kinds of things. Like I said, we also, if someone's not quite ready to be in their own permanent home, then we'll make like a referral to like Home of the Sparrow. We work very closely with them. And, you know, sometimes the person does decide to return to the home. And so then we would work on safety planning.
Okay.
And things like that. Sometimes they then return to shelter after they've gone back home. They can come back to shelter if they need to.
Can you explain to listeners what the safety planning would entail?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is, you know, making sure that you have your financial information in a safe place, your driver's license, medical insurance, you know, social security cards for your children, things like that, money, you know, anything that, like, if you actively decide to leave again, that would, you know, help keep you safe. And then also, you know, if things are escalating and you know the abuse is going to start again, like, how can you get to a safe place in your home
sure.
to maybe avoid that? So there's all kinds of different things that we talk to them about. It just, some of it is, you know, it's based on the individual situation. So it's different for everyone.
What have you seen over the last few years with the pandemic and everything? Have you seen people coming more frequently or is it kind of leveled off since the pandemic has subsided somewhat?
We've seen more requests for orders of protection and assistance with our legal advocacy at the courthouse, and definitely are getting back to pre-pandemic numbers as far as individuals in shelter as well.
Well, that's got to be a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough. How about, do you have any program statistics that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. So in our last fiscal year, we actually assisted nearly 1,400 adult and child victims of domestic violence, and we assisted with 614 orders of protection at the courthouse, and then we answered 2,700 helpline calls that came in, and then we provided domestic violence education to more than 4,300 students in the community.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that people are always concerned about is the order protection, is that even though they have that, so many times it's violated,
mm-hmm.
and it's not recognized by the person who's the abuser. And I know they're going to call the police, or sometimes they're probably fearful of calling the police. What have you seen as far as along those lines where people just ignore the rules that are put in place?
So we still encourage individuals to seek that order of protection, because if there is a violation, it's actually a crime. Without it, you know, you're just calling the police. That violation could then, after the second time, it's actually a Class A misdemeanor. So they can get, the first time is a Class A misdemeanor, the second time is actually a Class 4 felony. So it's an arrestable offense. So we do encourage individuals to seek an order of protection just as an added safety measure.
And it makes a lot of sense to protect them and their family. Any other stats you want to talk about as far as what you've seen in the last few years?
As far as our outreach, we're greatly expanding there. We've actually added another staff person because we're getting so many requests for presentations in the schools and churches. So that's really growing. And, you know, we're going to continue. We've adapted as we see needs that might be changing. We've formed new groups to offer different services. And so we're just going to keep making sure that we're addressing any gaps that we see in services in the community.
What would you say, Sarah, in the last 10 years, what you've seen as far as a change from where you were to where you are today? What types of changes are you seeing in society?
Well, I think more people are aware now that, you know, domestic violence is not just physical. I think more people also, I think, you know, in the past it was like, well, that's a family matter. I'm not going to get involved, and more people actually
sure.
do now. So I think those are maybe some trends that we've seen in the last 10 years as far as domestic violence.
And it would probably also entail verbal abuse too, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah.
And I know you had a note here that you have some announcements about broadcasting hope.
Yes. So we have an event coming up on May 26th from 3 to 6 at Kishwaukee Brewing in Woodstock. It is going to be a free event, and we're going to have a food truck there. We're going to have a very short program talking about the services that we offer, and then we're going to have that as kind of our kickoff to our Radiothon, which is in August, and that's one of our biggest events that we have as far as fundraising for Turning Point.
So that fundraising that you've got, you said it was in August?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Sure. It's an all-day event where we just kind of make a call out to the community to donate and talk about our services. We have clients who are sometimes willing to share their stories as well. So that's our biggest event, for biggest fundraiser for the year.
Well, that's great. Are there any other areas of concern that you want to share with those that are out there that are thinking about contacting Turning Point but are a little hesitant and not sure, should I make the call, should I not make the call? What's the encouragement for them to do that?
Well, if they're not sure, if they're in a domestic violence situation, we would just encourage anyone to call. All of our services are voluntary. You know, we can't force someone to come in for services.
Sure.
But I would just encourage anyone who maybe isn't even sure. We're going to connect them with a very compassionate advocate who will listen regardless of the situation and be able to, you know, give, make recommendations as to like what services they could benefit from. So even if someone's like not sure, they're kind of on the fence about calling, right, we would just encourage them to call.
So as far as your staff, what kind of training has your staff had to be prepared for these individuals when they come in?
Most, have, you know, professional, you know, degrees to start with. But the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic Violence requires a 40-hour comprehensive training specific to domestic violence issues. And everyone at the agency has completed that training and been certified. So.
And do you break it down that some will handle adults and some will handle children?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work in your organization?
It's a different department. So we have a supervisor and two child advocates, and same thing with adult. We have a mental health therapist as well. And so it just depends on who's coming in, but it's kind of just like a different department within the organization.
Do you find it difficult with children to be able to get the information out of them that they don't kind of freeze up, afraid to say something?
Sometimes, yes. Our children's program facilitator, though, like I think that's where art therapy and different things like that is really helpful. Takes some patience, right? and, you know, every child is, you know, different, but we do a really good job of working with the children.
Well, that's important because that people have to know that you've got people that specialize with children and those with adults, mm-hmm. which makes a big difference. And anything else with the organization that you want to share with us today, Sarah?
No, I just we're very appreciative of the support we receive from our donors and supporters, and just want to encourage everyone to come to our event and learn more on the 26th.
So once you go over the two events you've got coming up again for the listeners.
Okay, so Broadcast Hope is going to be May 26th from 3 to 6 at Kishwaukee Brewing Company in Woodstock, and then that'll be the kickoff to our event, which will happen in August. Date yet to be determined.
And that's where you'll have the food trucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we sign off here, is there anything else that you'd like to share about Turning Point with the listeners that you'd like to have them know about you and a message you'd like to send to them?
I'm just excited. I've actually started on January 3rd, so I'm new to the organization, but very passionate about this. And, I think it's a really important mission, and we're doing a great job helping victims become survivors in the community.
Well, that has a lot of merit to it, and we thank you for that. And Sarah, would you give us your contact information one more time?
Sure. So Turning Point, they can obviously go to our website, which is turnpt.org, and that has the chat feature, and then the phone number is 815-338-8081, and that is also our helpline.
So. Thank you. And we want to thank you for coming here today, Sarah. Once again, we've been talking to Sarah Ponitz from Turning Point, the Executive Director. And for you folks out there, thank you again for listening and sharing your time with us today. If you want to know more about our radio station, go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And for now, we're going to sign off and say have a great day. Look forward to seeing you again.